WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
If you work in university maintenance, Grainger considers you an MVP. Because your playbook ensures your arena is always ready for tip-off. And Grainger is your trusted partner, offering the products you need all in one place, from HVAC and plumbing supplies to lighting and more, and all delivered with plenty of time left on the clock, so your team always gets the win. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, visit Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get ready for another episode of the Life Strong Project.
Now, on the Alive Podcast Network.
It's a struggle. You go out on a date, and you don't like this person, and they just ghost you. You know, out of like no reason, no maturity in the closure, nothing. It's just like the ghost, like poof, like magic, they're gone. And so you're just sitting there. It's like, what happened? What did I go wrong? And it plays on your mental health, your self-esteem, your confidence. It plays on everything.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Life Strong Project. As you know, I'm your host, AC. And as always, it's a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be able to bring you these insightful interviews from people from all walks of life. So, I've never done a show like this. So we've had all kinds of shows. We've had, whether mental health, we've had education, we've had all kinds of shows here on the Life Strong Project. But today's topic is a little bit different, and I'm sure it's going to hit home to almost everybody listening, because at one point in your lives, I guarantee you were on the dating scene. Now, quick fact, and I'm sure she'll correct me if I'm wrong, but over 50% of adults in the United States are single. Now, I don't think it's anybody's, we all know that for some reason we kind of moved away from the old way of thinking. So, you date a little while, you get engaged, you get married, and you're married. Our ancestors, they stayed married for the duration. There was no divorce. Nowadays, it's just a little bit different. And the dating scene from when I started dating, not telling what my age is, but it's a little bit different. All right. It's a little bit different than what it is today. So on today, our guest is a certified matchmaker and entrepreneur, helping busy adults find real love without all the chaos. She's the founder of Elite Rendezvous, and it's a privacy first matchmaking and coaching service. I can't wait to get into that, because I'm like, how do you coach through dating? But can't wait to get into that. She's also the creator of an app called Door 2. It's a relationship app built for people who are tired of endless swiping and unclear intentions. So in this episode, we talk about why modern dating feels so overwhelming, how to date with clarity and intention, the difference between matchmaking and apps, dating as a single parent even, and how to walk away from the wrong situation without guilt. So, if you are burnt out on swipe culture, this conversation will help you approach dating in a calmer, more intentional way. So, Life Strong family, please help me welcome today's guest, Felicity Morgan. Miss Morgan, how are you?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me. That was a wonderful intro.
I'm glad you liked it. So I've before we get into it, before we get official, let's put it like that. Before we get official, explain who you are.
Okay. So my name is Felicity Morgan. I have a Gwen in there. So Felicity Gwen Morgan, just wanted to clarify also. So I am a certified matchmaker and based in Tampa, Florida. I am a single mom who have experienced the pain of online dating. And so I took the initiative to actually create something that works for people like me. And so it started off as an events company and then has just morphed into matchmaking, private matchmaking. So, yeah.
So wait, let me get to I didn't know. So you started as an event company. So when you say event company, you're, you know, just throwing parties and all kind of special events.
So curated events. So that's how we started. It started with curated events. So what happened personally in my life was, as a single parent, being divorced for a very long time now. And so I started going to like speed dating events, and as like, you know, you meet all kinds of people that are not within your age range, people who had no background checks run on them or whatever. And it's just people, just a bunch of different people from all walks of life. And so I was like, I have a background in risk management. And so from my experience, I was like, you know, I think I can do this better. I think that this can be a better, more appealing experience for a lot of different reasons, because now I've spent so much money on babysitting, like to have to babysit my kids so that I could be here, and it's a complete waste of time.
Right.
So I decided to start my own events company, which is why the name Elite Rendezvous. It's like intentional meeting for the elite. And so we started as an events company, and what I found was that I would have people show up for a 9 a.m. event and somebody else show up for a 6 p.m. event. It's kind of like going to church at different times, and people just kind of miss each other, especially like if they're perfect matches and things like that. And so it's like, you know, they come single and they leave single, and that kind of broke my heart. It's like, I can do something about this. So well, what can I do? I need to match these people, but how can I make it better? So I went on to the research and I found the Global Love Institute. And that's where I decided to learn all I needed to know about matchmaking. So I can
the Global Love Institute.
Yes.
Okay. So there is an Institute of Love.
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yeah, there's lots of matchmakers that get that graduate from the program and all of that. And so I found them and I talked to somebody over there and decided to enroll in the program and got certified in it and became a certified matchmaker. So now what I do is, like, when I go to events, and I still have these curated events for singles. So when they show up and I have them complete an onboarding form in my database, and then now I can see them in my system. I know what their core values are. I know who they're looking for. And if they're missing each other from the 9 to the 6, whatever time frame they show up to the event, I can still match them. And it's like a win-win for everybody. And so, yeah, that's my model. I take the events and I convert it into matches.
Wow. So, okay, I'm still stuck on the Institute of Love. I can't even wrap my head around, like, the courses or what you learn or any of that. That's a whole nother, that's got to be a whole nother story. But, okay, so, as you said, you know, so you've got these people, you know, the people coming to different timed events, and they're missing each other. And you say, man, how in the world can I, you know, match these people? How in the world can I get them to see or meet each other and all this stuff? So at that point, you were an event planner. So is that when the matchmaking bug hit you? Like, was that the catalyst that said,
yes,
okay, you are no longer an event planner? I don't even know if you're still an event planner, but
I am still an event planner.
Okay.
So I have events like every month. I have a different thing going on for singles everywhere in Tampa Bay. But yeah, that's where it hit me. As like, you know, I wanted to be able to provide value for people that showed up like to these events. And what we're seeing today in the culture is a lot of people are just tired and fatigued by all the dating, all the swiping, all swipe left, swipe right, and a scroll up, scroll. Like, it's just a lot of scrolling. Like, we're just already on our phone a lot. And just being able to provide these people this in-person interaction is just, it's priceless, just being there. And one very important thing I do at my events is I take away people's phones, like, you know, not take it away, hold it, like keep it to the side. Let's focus on the person in front of you so that you can really build something and get something out of it.
So is it like speed dating, but I mean, is it, so that's the kind of, okay. Yeah.
Speed dating, we have speed networking, we have mixers, we have other events like bowling, line dancing, all kinds of things.
So, wait a minute. But okay, so you take their phone for the duration of the event, because we as people have learned that we use our phones as crutches. Like me, I would pick up my phone and be like, if that date wasn't going according to plan, like, I would be like, oh, like, you know, yes. Like that.
It's really annoying. Like, I don't know if you read this book. I didn't mean to talk about this today, but The Anxious Generation, I think is from Jonathan Harditz. Mm-hmm. If you read it, it's about the brain chemistry and how the brain works with the kids these days and the devices and all of that. And that applies also not only to kids, but also to adults. In this, like, we have a lot of technology. I have an iPad, you have a phone, you have a computer. You see computers everywhere. Your GPS is a screen. Everything is a screen that you're using every single day. So it's okay to disconnect for a couple hours just to connect with other people. If you're looking for value, like real long-term relationship, if you're intentional about it, you will find them. You just have to really focus and pay attention to what's in front of you. And so that's why I take that approach for my events.
I read something that you think that dating has become like a part-time job. So I want to go back. Oh God, I might be telling on myself here. Okay, I'm going to go back, and I'm trying to remember, because I've been married for a few years. Okay, a few years.
I hear you. Okay.
So, but I'm trying to go back to the time of dating. And did I ever feel like it was a part-time job? And I don't think I did. And I'm going through the motions in my head of how I dated, or how we as people dated back then. You know, it was...
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products in fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, you meet somebody, you go on, you know, first date, dinner, let's say dinner. And where I came from, the gentleman always paid. I know that's not the case now, but the gentleman always paid. But, you know, based on that first date, the two parties guesstimated, let's say that, if they wanted to see each other again. And from that point, it grew, or it died. One of the two. Is that what's going on today?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
So these days we have, well, I think COVID also exacerbated a lot of the situation, right? Because people couldn't go out. A lot of people got very comfortable behind the screens and everything. Lots of dating apps just formed and, you know, grew. And I don't know, they're just profiting off of people's loneliness and people's desire to find love. So lots of apps are out there now. We have Bumble, Hinge, we have Tinder. There's so many OkCupid. There's so many. There's so Facebook dating. It's a lot of different ones. So on all of these profiles, they don't talk to each other. So you have to go create profiles on every single one of them. And every time you go there, they're asking you a new question, a new whatever, new. You're creating everything new. So imagine trying to find your partner. And you go on Bumble. Bumble is a swipe, right? Swipe left. Okay. And the lady makes the first move. So if the lady, if I swipe and the guy swipes on me and we match, I have to make the first move or that chat doesn't even start.
Okay.
And so that also leads to the who pays at the date. Because now, I swipe and I'm, am I paying because I swipe? Like, that's my mentality when I think about these things. Like, since I'm opening the conversation, does that mean that now do I, you know, who invites who for the date? Who like, how are we making it out of this chat to go, you know? Because if the man is not leading, then it's kind of, it's backwards. Anyway, it's the same idea with Hinge. Both people can make the first move, but people, because everybody's now conditioned with the way Tinder and Bumble works, they all just kind of sit and wait for the other person to reach out. And people just sit there dormant. And it's like, you know, trying to poke a bear. It's like, can you respond? Somebody respond. Somebody, you know, you say hi. And the person says hi. And there's no substance. And nothing is going anywhere. You know, it's a struggle. You go out on a date and you don't like this person. And they just ghost you. You know, out of like no reason, no maturity in the closure, nothing. It's just like
they just stop talking,
like poof, like magic, they're gone. And so you're just sitting there. It's like, what happened? What did I go wrong? And it plays on your mental health, your self-esteem, your confidence. It plays on everything. So yeah, it's not like back in the day. It's a lot of swiping. And when you think about it, there's so many apps out there right now on the iOS and the Android. There's so many apps, and not just dating apps. When you think about Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and some of the other new ones that we don't even know, Thread and others, right? Mm-hmm. And every single one of them, you're swiping either left, either right, or you're swiping up and down, or whatever, you're scrolling, you're doing things on it. So your face is constantly fixated on this thing. So to find your actual partner, I don't think it's a part-time job. I think it's a full-time job. You're actually, because you have to go through all of these apps, then you still have to have a social life with your friends and family and everybody. Like, it's a lot of work.
Why can't someone just commit to one app? Like, I don't know. I was dating before app culture. So I don't
So that's the thing, right? I've heard of people who went on Tinder, which is quote unquote considered like a hookup app, right? People just swipe just to go have fun.
Okay.
And but they end up getting married. Like, your luck could be on any of these apps. It could be on Tinder, it could be on Bumble, it could be on Hinge. So the idea is, why not download all of them so that we don't miss the chance of finding our partner? So if you're in every single one of them, you're not going to miss the chance. But if you just stay on Tinder, then you're only going to get the quality that you would try to, you know. If you stay only on Bumble, you only get that quality there. So if you, spread your nets everywhere, cast your nets or whatever, you would, you would eventually fish and find your husband somewhere or your spouse, wherever.
Or a bunch of fish. I know.
Plenty of fish. That's another one.
Plenty of fish. You're just trying to catch any and everything at that point.
Yes.
So if that's what people are doing, like they're just casting their nets. They're using all of these different apps to find the one. How do you get them to change their mindset or their tactics to focus?
So as a matchmaker, my job is really to understand first things first, what they're looking for, what they've tried in the past, right? Mm-hmm. And what they're truly like, you know, really understand where they're coming from, and then use that and guide them towards what they truly want in their life, like what they want down from the head to the toe. So describe me who your perfect partner is, like what do they do, what kind of activities are they involved in, what kind of, you know, yoga are they involved in, tennis, pickleball, whatever it is. Describe what you want them to be doing on a day-to-day basis, like shift their mindset from the swipe mm-hmm. and getting like 300, because if you're very pretty, you will have a lot of different matches waiting for you on Bumble, mm-hmm. Tinder, whatever, and that's like 500, 300 people that you have to swipe through. It's a lot of headache. It's a lot of missed conversations that don't go anywhere. But with matchmaking, you kind of guide them through the process. There's okay. This is here, 300 people. All right, you sort it. No, that's not what matchmaking is. It's just, vetting all of those people down to the exact person that you're looking for and points right. in the right direction. That's like what we call like purposeful meeting, purposeful, which also elite rendezvous is like, we're guiding you towards your intentional meeting points. So you find the person.
It's not, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched them, but first of all, I'm going to put myself look, that is my wife and I's guilty pleasure. Like, so there are so many, you see the air quotes, dating shows.
Oh, yeah.
Love is Blind. One of my wife and I's favorite, what is it? Love Paradise?
Oh,
Singles Inferno. I don't know why I missed it, but Singles Inferno. That's a Korean one. It's Ready to Love. There are, and so the way you just explained matchmaking, right? They would say different. How do you feel about, because, okay, like, I don't know if you watched it, but let's say Love is Blind. So if you've never, have you watched Love is Blind?
I love okay. Love is Blind, yeah.
So, okay. They stick everybody in these pods, mm-hmm. one-on-one, and they date everybody for an allotted time, I believe, per day or something like that, only, you know, to whittle it down and find the one. And it's messy at times. Of course, that's what we're watching it for.
Yeah.
We're watching it for. So, you know, so I've got a background in IT. So when I see movies that have stuff to do with IT and it doesn't add up, I have a habit with, oh God, I hate that. That's not what happens. Is that what you're doing when you're watching shows like that? Are you shaking your head like, oh my God?
It's a complete mess.
Yes. Hey, we're here for it, right?
Yeah, they're complete messes. I feel like a lot of those people are not vetted properly before they show up on the date, so they're not showing up. Everybody, I don't know. I think all seasons except for season one of Love is Blind, all the rest of them is just like, I don't know what to call it. But the first one was fine. It's just the rest of them, the domino, if I don't know what happened after. They changed producers. I don't know what happened, but it just seems
I think chaos brings viewership. I do.
I guess maybe they went a different direction. It's like, let's add more fire to whatever is happening so that we can generate viewers and people. But then now they're attracting the wrong crowd, you know?
Yeah.
But even though we're attracting the wrong crowd, they're not vetting them properly. They're not doing their due diligence on their part, because now people are showing up on the show and they either just broke off a relationship to come on the show, or somebody's mental health is not exactly where it should be and they're not, you know, in the right headspace to be there. Like, it's just,
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products in fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Chaotic mess, honestly. And so, yeah, watching those shows is like my background is risk management, first and foremost. Okay.
I'm upset.
None of these people were vetted at all. Like, where is the background check? Show me the proof. Like,
yeah. What is this,
you know? And so, I am definitely thinking about all the chaos that's happening while I'm watching those shows. But, you know, it is what it is. I stopped watching, honestly. Like, Love is Blind. I am on that note, actually, my app, the Door 2 app, based off of that, the Love is Blind. So it's a blind connection. So you're connecting with people based on their core values. When you download the app and go through the process, you're answering a bunch of questions, determining your core values. What is most important to you at your core, right? And then using that information, we're able to give you three people from the radius that you've set that match your core values. It's not a dating app. It's a relationship app
that
reviews, you know, your matches based on your core values. They're blind matches. You don't see a name. You don't see a face, nothing. You'll just see that you guys are matched based on these values. Because, for example, like, if you think about it, right, I go on a dating app and I see someone named, you know, Priyanka.
Okay.
I automatically know that she has some type of, Asian heritage, background, whatever. You know, you're automatically thinking that.
Right.
So we want to take that bias off completely and just focus on the core values of what people bring to the table.
So that's interesting to know that Love is Blind was the
inspiration. Yes.
That's the fact that we're using that word inspiration with Love is Blind. But it you know, something was born from it that is actually helping people. So you're a single mother, right? Because you mentioned, you know, that was something that you wanted to work with and assist single parents, I believe you still do. How did that, number one, how do you help single parents, things like that? And what are some of the hills and valleys with dating while being a single parent?
Wow, it's a lot. You think about, like, being a single parent for a long time, you've done a lot of work to get to where you are in terms of your health, in terms of your stability, finances, every single thing, and taking care of your kids as well. Mm-hmm. When you think about all of that, you don't want one person to come into your life and just torpedo and crash everything that you've built, right? So you want to be very careful with who you're picking and who you're bringing into your life. Now, I know, like, a lot of people have different policies or how they introduce a partner, a significant other to their kids. I do recommend anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Some people do it 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and that's a lot of chaos that goes into people's, you know, kids and all that. Yeah. So it's very important, like, to put all of those different people's ideologies and just their mindsets, their policies, their whatever they go through, just put all into consideration, put it all together, and then come up with, like, you know, we want to make sure we're matching you with the right person ahead of time. So background check is important. That's one thing that
she is preaching background check. I'm sorry. She is preaching this background check. Yeah.
Background check is something that I stand by anywhere, because The one thing for me is to be in a relationship with someone and then find out 2 weeks later that they had a restraining order on them at some point, like, you know, 2 years ago, a year ago, or whatever. Or you go out on a date with someone and they lied on their profile saying that they don't smoke and they in fact do smoke and things like that. Or, you know, they were involved in some type of domestic violence. Like, you just don't know. You want to be protected. You want to know these things or stay away from them for as much as possible. And so those are some of the things with my Facebook group. So I mentioned earlier that I recently acquired a Facebook group, and there is 33,000 people on the Facebook group. And so what happens is there's a lot of different people from different walks of life, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of them are single parents, single mom, single dad, single whatever. So what I do with that group also is I create like outline for the entire year. This is what we're doing when we're doing it, so that parents know that if they want to show up for this event, they have to plan for it. Because I'm someone that I need a plan so that I can work this plan, so that I can have a good, you know, event, good life, good month, good week, whatever. Like, I need to plan ahead of time, like 3 months, 6 months. Like, let me know what I'm doing in November. Like, now I know what we're doing in November, right? So I have those plans, those agenda, whatever, out for everybody to see. So it's full transparency, so parents can plan ahead of time, like babysitting, when they're not with their kids, when they want to show up, if they need to put the kids to bed early, if they want to be on a live, and things like that. So I plan for those things ahead of time. So
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
You mentioned that while watching these shows, right? Or maybe you used to, or, you know, I'll tell on myself. I watched them. I still watch them. I'm sorry. But you mentioned, you know, that you don't feel production has done its due diligence background check. How difficult is it to get honesty from your clients? Like, I know you have them answer questions, but you're only going to get the answers that they give. Is that a challenge? Like, I'm sure you have encountered someone bold-faced lying on one of those applications. But how do you combat that, number one? And when you find that one that has not been truthful in the application process, how do you deal with that?
I have been fortunate, actually, to see that. So here's how my system works. Okay. So people join the database. It's called like I call it an onboarding process. They go through the app level situation. I ask them a number of questions. It's about 15 minutes. It's not like 5 minutes or whatever. So the chances of lying there is very slim, because it's like a pre-clearance, pre-vetting process. It would ask questions about your past relationship, how you reacted to this, how, you know, what was it about this partner that attracted you to them?
But why can't they lie? Why can't they lie there?
They can lie, but if after that process, after they're done with that, I still have to get on a call with them. Like, I would see them, like, I look at you now and I can tell, I can read body language. Again, my background is management.
Okay. Yeah.
So my background is risk management compliance. So I can read body language and I can tell when someone is not being truthful or not being straightforward about certain things. And you can tell when there's something like wheels are spinning or whatever. Can you clarify a little bit on that? Can you tell me a little bit more about this? It's an hour to 90 minutes long conversation. So you will be tired if you're lying. You can only, you can only protect yourself for so long, you know? So anyway. The bottom line is, you can tell if they're, you know, tweaking things here or there or trying to change their responses. Okay, well, I said something wrong or whatever. But ultimately, it ends up being that, you know, it's just data, collecting the best out of the data that I've collected. Like, if I collect 10 of it, you know, if 6 out of 10 was completely okay, then that's really still a pass on my end. So they can't
Felicity, that's a D.
It's still a pass, you know? It's still a pass, but at the same time, there is the actual background check that goes through, like the Fair Lending and all of those things, like where I would use their phone number and run a behind the scenes background check on, you know, phone number, name, address, and all of those things, which I have, and run background checks on them and try to find out anything from their history that kind of refutes what they have completed in terms of their forms and all of those things. So it's a balance, it's a check, like we are checking, we're collecting their information, but I'm also checking and making sure that everything lines up correctly.
Okay, so I know the first thing you do is run the background check. I think we've made that abundantly clear.
Before I go into a conversation with them that lasts 60 to 90 minutes, I want to make sure I do my homework, that I'm talking, that I'm not taking in criminals or, you know, I don't want to do any of that. So that's the first thing I check before I go, because that would ruin my reputation if I did that.
So outside of that, and I know that's a major part. Say, for instance, somebody comes and says, oh my God, Felicity, I am so tired, but I want to find that one. Outside of that, what's one of the first things you do or say that is important in this process, and that you won't go any further if you don't like what you hear or see?
What are your non-negotiables? I think that would determine if I would take on the client or not. What are your non-negotiables? Like, if it's going to be something very difficult for me to find, what is something that you will not compromise on? Like, what are those things? Like, I want to know if you're looking for a Zendaya model, that's going to be very tough, not too expensive, but tough. But things like that. So I want to know what are the non-negotiables that you're looking for in a partner? And that would help me determine if I want to move forward with a person as a client, or if it's something I can work with, then yes, I will take them on. If it's something that is really way out of my wheelhouse, then yeah, I will not be taking that client on.
Dating with intention. Let me put it like this. What does that actually look like on a random Tuesday? What dating with intention in the world are we talking about here?
So dating with intention, that's actually, so that's the title of my podcast. That is the title of my podcast, but it's dating with intention, that basically on a Tuesday, when I'm thinking about my niche with the single parents and busy professionals, when I think about like a random Tuesday, I'm thinking like a coffee date. I'm not thinking about dinner, because, you know, I am dating intentionally. I'm not going to spend 3 hours on a dinner when I don't even know if we're going to vibe. Like, why am I showing up to dinner, you know, all dressed up in the night, evening dress or whatever, and on a Tuesday night when we could just do coffee and I can see if we vibe first. And if we do vibe, then we can go out on a longer date night. So I encourage clients to do that, like, you know, go on coffee dates instead and just try to get a feel for the date, like where there's no alcohol involved, hopefully not drinking. You're drinking coffee and you stay for the date for as long as your coffee is hot in your hand. So that's anywhere from 15 minutes to about an hour.
I guess 15 minutes is not a good one.
At least then you have the option to be like, you know, I've had a wonderful time. It's been wonderful getting to know you. I have to get going. I have a meeting. You find something and walk away if it doesn't work out. Versus you're all dressed up. You have your hair done. You make up everything. You go out.
Hit him with this, right?
And then within an hour of sitting there and the waitress comes and they yell at the waitress or whatever. And you're like, I cannot deal with this temperament. And but you still have to sit there or either walk away. But if you walk away, then what? Your hair that you paid for, spent all that painful time getting ready, you just have to walk back home. And now you have to pay for the babysitter that, you know, you didn't even enjoy the date. So that is intention. That's just an example, like intentional dating. Like you're intentionally setting out time to meet this person and see if we vibe before I go invest in 3 hours of my dinner time with you. Well, you know, if I don't know if it's gonna go anywhere, why would I do that? You know,
man, I did not know that she had a podcast. That happened organically. I promise.
That happened.
I didn't even know. That was an honest question. That was not a segue. That was an honest question.
Okay.
But we made it look really good, though. So let's talk about Door 2, the app. That's on both platforms, right? iOS and
we're still working out a few kinks on it. It's just now a web platform. Sorry, it's now on the web, like a web app. So we're still working out a few kinks. We had it on the App Store for a little while. It's like, okay, like we're changing direction a bit, but we're adding more questions to it. So it's now a web-based app.
Okay, so for anybody who wanted to use it, how can they find it?
They can find it on door2dating.com.
Okay, door2dating.com. Okay, got it. So, but that eventually will move to mobile devices and things like that.
Yes, within about 2 months or so. We're wrapping things up. So, within about 2 months, testing and everything.
Awesome. So, as a single parent yourself, what do you wish people understood about what it takes to date when you have children? And the reason I'm asking that is because, and I don't know, I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think most of the time it's women who are single parents. And a lot of times men come into the picture not knowing, call it ignorance, honest ignorance, because maybe they were never married. Maybe they don't have children. Maybe they haven't been around a lot of children. So they don't understand. So what are some of the things or the main thing that you would like that individual to understand what it takes, you know, to date somebody who may have children?
Well, yes, you are right in the sense that the women usually, you know, because they gave birth to the kids. Oftentimes you do see single dads, you know, that are single dads. But the majority of it is the women carrying the load of the burden because, I gave birth to my kid, I guess I brought them into this world. I got to take care of them. I don't know. Whatever the dad wants to do, that's what he's going to do. Anyway, but bringing in, you know, a partner that has no experience with kids, for me, I feel like they need to understand. A lot of different people would say, I wish I would comfort, I wish I would come first, right? But what does that mean? Like, why would you come first when I had my kids in my life first before you came into my life?
Right.
So my kids are always number one. Like, I have to always think about my kids. As a single parent, my kids are my priority, right? If I don't feel comfortable with a partner because of so and so and so, I'm just not going to bring them around my kids. I'm not going to do any of that. Like, security is what I am most about. Security, safety for me, for my children, right? If the partner doesn't even seem right in any way, like, you know, for example, I don't do smoking. I don't want smoking. I have a kid that has asthma, and that's the primary reason. When I think about pets, I think about cats. The one kid with asthma, and it also deals with cat hair. And when I think about people that have, like, I have to think about all of these things. Right. Like, this partner is not the right person for me because I'm thinking about my kids first. And so what I want people, or people who've never been with a partner or had kids of their own, is to understand that a woman's child, a partner's child, is always going to come first before you. Like, you know, they're always going to come first. We're going to try to do whatever, you know, to protect our kids before, you know, in terms of like choosing a partner, before we decide on settling with a partner or anything. It's not that we love you any less. It's just kids come first, you know, in terms of like taking care of them, because what, I brought them into this world, I promised I was going to take care of them, so I better do that, you know. So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
You are huge on background checks, and you know, you mentioned your background, risk management. A big part of that is, you know, a take on privacy, right?
Yes.
So in your opinion, what's the oh no, don't do that online date? Because I'm gonna be as forthcoming as possible. I don't think I could date now because I'm a coward because when it comes to online dating, I don't know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So I don't think I could do it. Now, thankfully, I don't have that to worry about. But I don't know if I would be able to do that today. What's the thing that the red flag that you want to throw out there to someone who may be online dating and you're like, oh, no, do not do that?
So a lot of it is expectations, boundaries versus expectations, right? When you find somebody on a dating app, you guys vibe or whatever, and you decide to go on a date, some party, the male, female, whatever dynamic you have, might think it's okay to, or be expecting the first kiss, the first whatever, on the first date. To me, that is a complete red flag, right? Because as a human being, as a person that is dating with intention.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
I have boundaries, and part of what I preach with my clients is know your boundaries. Know them, and just when you see somebody going against your boundaries, because of their expectation of you on the first day, so their imagination, whatever it is they're thinking in their head, that is what their expectation is.
Right.
If they cross your boundary, that's a no. That's if they're crossing one boundary, and that's a no. One of it, for example, is, you know, kissing on the first date, touching, and all of those things. If you're not comfortable with that, that's a no. I do recommend 3 months of just really exploring, getting to know each other, understanding each other before you go into like exchange of bodily fluids or whatever. But really vetting this person, because nobody can hold the facade or whatever on their face for 90 days, 3 months. Nobody can fake
90
it.
Day fiance.
Nobody can really fake that.
I could not resist. You said 90 days and a half.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. But like, you know, like the first dates, like where people are like best, you know, Sunday fit, whatever, they're dressed their best, or like they're being their best the first day, second day. Like, they can only keep that on for so long. Right? But what is their real character? What is their real, like, what is the real person underneath all this? Are they reliable? Are they honest? Are they trustworthy? Are they communicative? Are they consistent? Do they value your opinions, boundaries, all of those things? Like, you know, there's a whole list of things that we need to look out for and be sure before you try to commit and say, well, you know, this. So that's something that I do urge people to look out for, is pay attention to your boundaries. And also, if you start chatting with somebody and they reach out to you in the middle of the night with, especially like the WYD. Do you know what that is?
Oh, what you doing?
What you doing? As a single parent, as a human being, I find that very insulting. Right. Oh. Honestly, personally, I find it insulting because WYD, like, what do you mean? Like, do you want to find out if I'm folding my laundry or if I'm actually working? Like, what is that? Like, what, that's, to me, that's like a booty call. You know, like, you're not busy. So if you're not doing anything, you know, it's weird.
But I found that, okay, we're on the same sheet of music right there. But yeah. I have found that the culture today, mm-hmm. with young daters or what have young people, that's just a thing. Oh, I was just asking what you're doing. I'm like, but it's like we don't understand context. Like, no, when you say that, that is kind of implying that, no, I was just asking what you're doing. Like,
no, it's not.
Oh, man.
It's insulting to me because, again, it comes to the thing that I'm dating, like dating with a full life, right? I have, my life is full, right? Like, I want someone in my life, but, you know, do I need, like, it's a want versus need situation, you know? Do I need them? Possibly not, but, you know, it'd be nice to have.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have them in my life, but I also want to make sure that it's the right person that I'm having in my life. Like, when you lead with things that lack substance, like WYD, I find that very, very insult. I don't even respond to those messages. Like, that's a block delete situation. Block, delete, next.
Wait a minute, that's ghosting. That's ghosting.
But the thing is the WYD is that they reach out when they're bored. If you pay attention to it, they reach out when they're bored. They can go 3-5 days without anything, and all of a sudden you see a pop-up of WYD. So they already ghosted me first. Why do I have to sit here and entertain a conversation with someone who was not consistent in their communication, was not respectful of my time, was not honest about whatever it is that we're doing that kept them away from responding to my, or are they just chasing all of the other people that they're chatting with? Because the dating apps, again, there's so many of them. Or are they just chasing like the shiny object syndrome and just ignoring me while I'm here? And then they reach out, okay, well, all of these other girls did not respond. Then now, hey, WYD. And I'm like, 5 days later? Okay, well, this is not going to work out. Bye.
Wow.
That's my, yeah, at some point you have to call it what it is, call a spade a spade, you know?
Wow.
In the beginning of a relationship, because that just opens doors to be consistently used over and over and over again down the line.
Okay. All right. That was, you were dropping, I'll give you, that was it. Yeah. So, let me ask you this. As a woman of color, as a black woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it? I'm not going to say difficult, but do you find it challenging? Let's use that word. Doing what you're doing, because it's especially because you deal with people from, and you said earlier, all walks of life, and you're bringing these people together. And do you find it challenging that some people find you, maybe not you, but just the fact of you being a black woman, not capable or knowledgeable or, dang, she said that with deep quickness. So do they not know that you are female when they come to you, black female when they come to you? Or
they are aware. I mean, I have pictures, press and videos and things like that all over the place. So they are aware that I am, in fact, African American, black. So a lot of people will actually, with society as it is, unfortunately, I find it's just, I don't know. It's very, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Say
but
it.
It's very confusing in society today where women in general are just looked down upon. And being a woman in black also, it does not help in this business or really any business. And I cater to people from all walks of life, right?
Right.
And so I know that when I started this whole venture, I know like I was very conscious of that. Like I try to fit in, which I don't recommend, but it's like, well, I need to get business. I need to get people in. I need people to take me serious. I need people to understand me. I loved braids on my hair. I don't have braids anymore. Like I don't do them anymore because of the perception of like, you know, being a black woman and showing black and blackness and all of that. And I try to mold myself into what society would see or think is much more appealing as, you know, person of color or whatever. You know, there are wigs and things like that out there. I hate to say this, but again, I would do things that would help in other aspects because I know I'm a smart woman. I know I'm intelligent, but I know I need to attract the right client. So in order to do that, I have to do what I have to do in terms of molding. And, you know, I would say things like wigs help. So you would have the straight wig that is like all white and pressed or whatever. And I would do that and hope for the best. And so if you go on my website, you will see things like, you know, I have the cut, you know, the curly hair, which I really love my curls. I love curls. But oftentimes I have to hide, you know, if I'm going to like a big event or whatever, I want to, you know, be clean and polished and, you know, make it straight hair, clean, whatever. And unfortunately, that's the society we live in. It's difficult for black women to make any headway. So we do what we have to do to get there to, you know, appeal to the right client, appeal to the right audience and so on.
That is definitely the climate that we're living in today. I will say that I hope people are listening and watching this episode. And you who are watching, you have heard Felicity Morgan speak big time knowledge. So it's not about her being a woman or being a woman of color. She's just knowledge. All right. So let's get that straight.
Yeah.
Right. So I thank you so much, Felicity, for doing this show. I had a blast. This was I'm not dating anymore. So but I have learned a lot. Thank God I don't have to worry about all this. Oh God.
Well, lucky. Look,
I think if my wife tried to leave me, I'm a haunt her. They're gonna have to put a restraining. Never stop.
Oh goodness.
No, but Life Strong family, listen. I'm sorry. You know, I forgot. Felicity, tell them if they need help with in their, you know, in this world of dating, in this crazy chaos filled world of dating. How can they find Felicity Morgan? How can they hear Felicity Morgan? Or how can they reach you?
So to hear me, that is Dating with a Full Life. That's my podcast.
Mm-hmm.
My website is eliterendezvous.com for the matchmaking. If you want to find out everything about Felicity, about anything. So it's really felicityhq.com. That's where you're going to find every single thing that I'm doing in terms of like, that's your hub for the podcast, the matchmaking, the dating coach, the publishing. I have a publishing company also.
Oh, wow.
So it's all of the things. That's where you'll find it. Felicityhq.com.
I swear. Okay. Wait a minute. Let me get this right.
I do.
Okay. Event planner. Mm-hmm. Matchmaker,
uh-huh.
Publisher,
uh-huh.
App developer.
Uh-huh.
There is 24 hours and single parent.
Oh yeah, I don't sleep. I don't sleep. It's funny because church was yesterday, and I found, like, I got home at midnight 30, so 12:30. And I had to go serve in church, and I serve in church, and I come back and I continue sleeping, and my kids, you know, it's around the clock. I'm always busy. I can't sit still. I can't sleep to sit still. I'm always going around.
It's a lot. I'm glad you etched in some time to be a part of it. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. Like I said, I had a blast. And listen, everybody, if you have questions about dating, if you want someone knowledgeable and someone who is going to do their due diligence to get you the right match, Felicity Morgan is your woman. All right.
Yes.
So reach out to her. What was it? It was FelicityHQ.com.
Yes.
There you go. FelicityHQ.com. Reach out. Get a hold of her so she can turn this chaos into, I don't know, something good. Thank you so much, Felicity, for doing this. I would love to have you back on again one day. Life Strong family, that's a wrap. As always, remember, your life is fleeting. Cherish it. Your life is ever-changing. You've got to adapt. And most of all, your life is yours. You've got to live it. I'm your boy AC. That's a wrap for today's show. Peace.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Life Strong Project.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.